I'm Fabian Reit. I am a media artist, sometimes author, most of the times theater maker, and very rarely performer. I try to make interactive storytelling, so to give people the opportunity to participate in pieces and to give them an active role in pieces, and that's basically what I do, but still trying to tell stories and not leaving everything to the audience. That's sort of my approach. My project here is called Digitalizing Narrative Spaces because I wanted to experiment with means and measures of how we are able to transform space with digital means. And for that I used augmented reality, I used physical computing, and I actually came out to use a lot of video and AI stuff as well in that residency. But my plan was to re-transform space with means of physical computing and augmented reality. When I started here, I wanted to work with object detection as well. Then I discovered a lot of problems with that. For example, that it basically only works on Apple devices. The object detection isn't working as well as I want it to work. And if it works as well as I would like it to work, it only detects chairs as chairs, tables as tables, and boxes as boxes, and not really big differences in between. So that doesn't really make it interesting. Then I started out to look at other opportunities to work with AR. And then I also just started to learn a lot more about electricity, about tinkering, about AI, and about 3D printing. And all of those things I knew a little bit about before, for example, of physical computing, I knew actually a lot, but not that much about the other things. And I had the opportunity here to work on basically anything I wanted to work on and include it somehow into the project that I was doing here. And that was quite amazing. And that was actually an opportunity I was really thankful for. It shapes the physical world in my story because you can change the atmosphere that is around you. For example, you can move clouds through the room, you can make clouds visible and invisible, you can actually interact with the phone, and the phone then communicates with the outside world and with the visual parts of it. So that's sort of what we built here, or what I built here. I'm not even sure whether it really does create different level of interaction. My main goal was to create something that is more calm than I am used to in interactive settings. Because to me, interactive settings always seem to be a little demanding to the audience. So you always have to go somewhere, you always have to move in a certain way, you always have to do something to actually get a reward. And I wanted to create something that is more created for someone who might be a little less outgoing and who still likes to go down narrative slides and who likes to have some sort of narration in the space or in theater. And that's sort of what I liked. I try to create some sort of action where you can actually watch. You're not being asked to do things that you won't do in your normal life. For example, you can twist a radio button, you can pick up a phone. So it's nothing very intrusive or nothing very demanding. That was important to me, and to have it more like a calmer experience, which then escalates in a bit. So it starts out very calm, but then it goes in another direction at the end. I work on my own here. So at the Academy, I had help of two lovely mentors, but I most of the time worked on my own. So I actually didn't have too much time to also create visual material. So I decided to work with Dali and a very famous image creating AI. And I just gave it a prompt which said, show me this scenery in low poly and blue and green, because I tried to work with mainly blue and green this time because I wanted to work with 3D objects in the same color. And that's what I did. It's that created the visual material and it sort of worked. And the narration that we used in, or that I used in this scenario here, was an audiobook that we wrote and recorded last November. And already there, the musician Martin Recker, who is also a lovely person, also used AI to generate some parts of the music. And I used AI because there's a radio in my scene, and this radio is playing different sounds depending on how deep into the memory you go. And the further you go, the less you hear of the music. But you always get the same rhythm line. So I used an AI which analyzes the rhythm line and the instruments in the work, and then gives out different sounds depending on how deep you go into the memory. Yes, I think the whole work actually surrounds the question of how is the digital sphere and the physical sphere combined, or how is it, are they interacting with one another? So how are the physical and the analog world, no, how that's the same thing. So how are the analog world and the digital world actually communicating with each other? How are they connected? And it starts out with photographies. Like all of the photographies we do at the moment are actually done digitally. So our cities are planned by software, which also is a digital thing. We use a lot of digital ways to communicate. And so I was interested in like, how can this be more visible and become more visible? And so I decided to use 3D scanning and scanned like real physical objects, put them in the software, and then 3D printed them again. It was an interesting process in that sense, that then also the visual component of this object changes. So you have this perspective of a digital narrator sort of in between, and that was something that I was interested in. And now these objects look a lot like, they have those small vertices and they look very different, but still recognizable to the real world objects. I think it's actually much easier in a programming way, because you don't have to watch out for a lot of infrastructure questions that would normally cross your path when you do things for multiplayers. But so I think it makes everything a lot easier, actually. Where it's becoming interesting is when people talk about it afterwards, or when you try to get them in touch with one another, because then you are at the difficult point that I actually don't want to create something that is meant only for one person, in a sense of you are in there on your own, you don't have anyone to talk to, but I want to create the social situation of actually being able to talk about your experience afterwards as well. So that's sort of one of the difficulties that I was facing there. And I think it's still a problem I haven't solved. And it's something I want to work on and I want to experiment with more. I think we tend to think about the world very often in the way it is created already. So it's very hard to get out of this imagination of the world as it is at the moment. And augmented reality actually shows that it could be completely different, because everything has an overlay suddenly. Everything can look completely different. Everything, there could be a dinosaur in the room and it wouldn't be a problem. And I think this helps to imagine a very different world and a very different perspective of the world, what it could be, how we could transform it, and also how we can shape it in a social and political way. I think there are two main ways that I would like to continue. First of all would be to have someone who is more responsive and more creative than an image creating AI, because it's actually not really a creative process. You just tell it what it should look like and then you're happy or not with the result. But I would actually like to work with a human being who has imagination of things and can actually try to create something new and not only something that is in my mind, but who I can also talk to. And the second part is actually to create a multiplayer experience out of it. I'm saying multiplayer now, but what I mean is there are several people in the same room at the same time who experience different things but are being in the same space. And that would be very interesting to me, because then it opens up to more people. And that's more interesting, I think.